Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Leadership Expectations, from the series Exodus, and examines why leadership often involves criticism for problems you helped create. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
When it comes to leadership, there's something in the heart of every human being that tends to think that if we were leading in a certain capacity, that we could do it better. It starts when we're young and we watch our parents as they're leading us, and we begin to think, one day when I'm a parent, I'm going to do things completely different than my parents are doing because I know better. Sometimes we think that when we get married and we see other families that have children, I remember what it was like when Kim and I first got married and we would go to a restaurant and we would see children, they'd be on the ground playing, and we would say stuff like, that is never going to happen when we have our children. Only to have our children. And you know, there's just times where you're tired and exhausted and you got two little ones crawling around and you're the one being talked about by everybody else in the restaurant. It's like, I don't care. You know, it's okay. Right? We have a tendency to think that when we're not the one leading, that if we were leading, we would do it better. And it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to think that there's different ways that you want to do it. But when you're sitting in the seat of leading, you realize very quickly that maybe there's more to this than you initially thought. Kim and I often joke that we were marriage experts before we got married and that we were parental experts before we had children. Because there's this situation that when you're finding yourself in a position of leadership, that what you thought was one way is actually very different, and it's much more comprehensive than what you thought it was. That leadership is not just a title of authority that allows you to make sure everything happens your way. Leadership is a position given by God so that you can be an influence and a steward of what he wants to accomplish in and through that group of people that you're leading. So whether you're called as a pastor or whether you're called in the church to lead in a ministry or lead in a small group, or whether you're called to lead in your family as a husband or as a wife, whatever you're called to lead and called to steward, when you find yourself in that place, you're going to realize very quickly it's a little bit different than what you had initially thought. And if you've ever wanted to know what you can expect when you're in a position of leadership, the Lord has a word for you today, especially when you want to lead in his way. I want to encourage you to open your Bible up to Exodus chapter 17 as we look at that text today. And just to bring you up to speed while you're turning to Exodus chapter 17, we've really come through in a miraculous era, because what we've seen God do is to deliver all of Israel through the Red Sea. He was amazing. They were trapped. They had no hope. And yet the God of all hope delivered them as Moses held out his staff and the waters parted. And not only did they make it across on completely dry ground, but all of Pharaoh and his armies were swamped so that there were dead bodies all over the place. And Israel was so fired up, they began to sing praise and worship to the Lord. And then as they continued in their journey, they realized they didn't have water, they didn't have bread, they didn't have meat, they weren't finding a place of rest. So what did God provide? He provided water, he provided manna, he provided meat, he provided the Sabbath so that they would have everything they need. So here's two things that you can know about Israel before we even get in the text today. They've seen God's marvelous hand in deliverance, and they've seen God's marvelous hand in provision. They've experienced it personally and majestically in such a way that you would think they know this now. And yes, guess what? They're a lot like us. They're still going to have some challenges. And that's where our story picks up in Exodus chapter 17. Hear the word of the Lord. It says this, "Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Isn't it interesting? What do they need? They need water. We know we need water. That's a legitimate need that we have. But haven't they already seen God provide water? I mean, they found a place where there was a pool, but the water wasn't good. It was bitter. So God had them in obedience, put a tree in and made it sweet, and they drank. And then God provided streams of water. And now guess what? They're journeying. The Bible says that they were journeying in stages. They journeyed in stages. That means they pulled up their tent pegs and now they're continuing to go. Why? Because God will never leave you in the place that you're at. God is always taking you on a journey. Now, I won't embarrass you, so this is a rhetorical question. Keep all your hands down. But if I were to ask you, how many of you really enjoy change? Some of you would raise your hand, but you don't enjoy change. Nobody enjoys change unless change brings you more comfort. But more often than not, change brings less comfort than the comfort that you're already living in. All of us are creatures of habit. All of us are creatures of comfort. Even in church, if somebody's happened to sit in this very seat that you sit in every Sunday, you're uncomfortable with that. Right? We don't like change unless it's to our benefit and unless it's to our comfort. So what's going on now is something Israel's seen before. Now, this time they don't see any water. There's not a bitter stream. There's no streams. But instead of seeking the Lord, instead of saying, "God, you're the God who delivered us. You're the God who provides. We know you're here. Let's have a prayer meeting. Lord, what are you going to do this time? How are you going to take care of us? We know you love us." What do? They complain and they quarrel and they gripe at who? Moses. Let me give you your first leadership lesson. There's going to be five leadership expectations you can have. Here's the first. When you lead for the Lord, you can expect this. Number one, blame and criticism for legitimate problems which you helped create but cannot solve. You're going to experience blame and criticism for legitimate problems which you helped create but you cannot solve. Why do they have this problem? Because Moses is leading for the Lord and he's trying to get them into the promised land. Deliverance wasn't the end goal. Deliverance was the beginning to get them on a journey to get them to where God had promised their forefathers he would take them. When God saves you, that's just the beginning. That's new birth. He puts you on a journey to take you where you need to go. And yet sometimes as soon as we get saved and we get comfortable, we think, this is it. Now what's going on? Moses, because he's being obedient to the Lord, Moses, because he's doing what God asked, takes them on a journey. And as they go on a journey, where Moses has led them has left them without one of their basic needs, which is water. Sometimes when you lead, the very thing that you're leading is going to create problems for the very people that you're leading. And one of the reasons that God does that is he wants not only you to know, but the people that you're leading, that all you can do is point them to the one that can help. That you don't have the answers, but God does. It's one of the principles of leadership, because here's what we falsely think about leadership when we're young. Whether we're thinking about a coach or a teacher or a business owner or a pastor, anybody that's in a position of leadership, we automatically expect them to have all the right answers and to make all the right decisions at all times for all people. We wouldn't put that expectation on ourselves, but we put it on others. Kids, you put it on your parents. You want your parents to be perfect and make all the right decisions just the way you think that they should be made. And you think the right decisions are what you think should happen. And oftentimes you're wrong, right? The same is true in our leadership. The reality of leadership means that God begins to take you on a journey to lead his people in such a way that you don't know how to do it. It's true as a pastor. It's true as a husband. It's true as a wife. It's true as a mom. It's true as a dad. It's true in the academic world. It's true in the business world. It's true in any single sector that you would look at somebody that has been given spiritual authority to lead by God. They're not an expert at it. They have to learn how to do it. And what you can expect when you lead people, when you step out and you want to lead for God, whether it's planting a church, whether it's beginning to lead a small group, whether it's starting to serve in ministry, whether it's beginning a business that the Lord asks you to do, whether it's marrying the person God asks you to marry, whether it's having children and bringing them into this world, you are going to realize at some point in time, sometimes relatively quickly, you don't have a clue how to do this. And the very thing that you're doing is creating problems for the ones that you're leading. It's why sometimes in a moment of anger, your kids might say to you something like this: I didn't ask to be born into this family. It's not my job. You're the one that created me. You're the one that brought me into this world. I didn't ask to be part of this.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Leadership Expectations, from the series Exodus, examining why leadership often involves criticism for problems you helped create but can't solve. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
And the very thing that you're doing is creating problems for the ones that you're leading. It's why sometimes in a moment of anger, your kids might say to you something like this: I didn't ask to be born into this family. It's not my job. You're the one that created me. You're the one that brought me into this world. I didn't ask to be part of this, right? What you have is when you're leading people, oftentimes people, when they're spiritually challenged, do not have the spiritual maturity enough to look inwardly and see what God's trying to do in them. So instead, they inevitably blame their spiritual leaders. Children blame parents, students blame teachers, players blame coaches, parishioners blame pastors. When you find yourself in a position of criticism and blame, as we've already talked about, that is dictating your spiritual immaturity. And it's also letting you recognize that is not putting God on the throne. God is the provider. Israel knew God was the provider. If they really believed God was the provider, they wouldn't have been complaining about not having water. They would have talked to the God who was present with them and prayed that he would just provide water, because that's what our God does. He's an abundant God that is overflowing. Prior to being a pastor, I did full-time itinerant evangelism. What that meant for me is I would preach at churches, camps, prisons, retreats, evangelistic crusades, but they were all kind of one-off time preaching. So I would show up. My job was usually preach the gospel, tell people that God loved them, had sent his son Jesus to die for them, who rose from the dead and offered life in his name, and then invite people forward. So routinely for Kim and I, as we traveled around, it was not uncommon to see 15 to 25 to 300 to 400 people come to know Christ in a service or something like this. And then everybody was all fired up and we would get patted on the back and told that was great. We love you guys. And then we would drive away. And then she would tell me about, did you hear about what's going on in the church? And I'm like, yeah, somebody told me about this. And we would be driving away saying, aren't you glad we don't have to be part of that church? And so we go preach in another church. And it's much easier to guest preach or pinch hit than it is to be the person that stands there week after week, month after month, year after year, and know people that you love, that you're leading, that in front of them, you're learning how to lead and they're watching you do that, right? That's what's going on here. And here's what you can expect. If you didn't know this, if you're gonna lead for the Lord, you can expect blame and criticism. It just comes with the package. I had no idea when we started the church the ways in which people would criticize, but I've learned over time. I've been criticized for all sorts of things. I've been criticized in my preaching for not being practical enough. People said, you're just too biblical. Other people say, I'm not biblical enough. I just teach the prosperity gospel. Some people say, you're too tough on sin. Other people say, you're not tough enough on sin. Some people say, you preach too short. I'm just kidding. Nobody's ever said that. Just trying to sneak it in, see if you're paying attention. When we were a small church and I was meeting with everybody, we're 50 people. Some people would say, you didn't meet with me enough this week. Then as we've gotten to be a larger church where I can't meet with everybody, some people have said, oh, you're just a big church pastor and all you care about is your ego. I can't win. But what I've learned is when I hear blame and criticism, to filter it. Because some of the things that people are complaining about, whether it's worship or groups or men's or women's or preaching, there's a hint of truth in what they're saying. There's ways God wants me to respond and grow, and don't just be dismissive. But the reality is there's no possible way to lead God's way in any venue where you can keep everybody happy 100% of the time. And too many people try to do it, right? And if you're gonna lead for the Lord, I promise you, when you step into that leadership and God prompts you to take that step of faith, and you're doing it out of the goodness of your own heart. I've seen over and over in small groups where people have been part of a small group and they have expectations. You don't realize that you have expectations, but you have expectations for what that group should be. And you learn what those expectations are when you lead. Because when you're in a group, it's no big deal whether you come every week or not. But when you lead a group, you expect everybody there to be there every week and be on time and be prepared and come thankful that you're leading the group. And that never happens, ever, right? Or when you step into kids ministry, you expect, well, I'm giving of my time to four-year-olds and certainly they're gonna be thankful for the way in which I lead them and I don't get the thanks that I'm getting, right? All those different things. And God does that and God has us plant a church or start a ministry or do different things to teach us as a leader, as I'm leading God's people. I can't solve your problem, but I can point you to the one who can. And the problem that you have, it is legitimate. And the way that you're feeling is real. And I can't solve it for you. I'm just being honest. But I'm taking you on this journey because God can. That's what was going on in the life of Moses. And they're grumbling against him. They're complaining against him. They're quarreling with him. This goes beyond, hey, we're gonna die out here. They're saying now, it's your fault. You're the problem. You're the one. You're the reason that we're gonna die. So you can expect that. So don't think there's something wrong when you experience blame and criticism for legitimate problems which you help create but cannot solve. Meaning this, if you're gonna go into politics, there's gonna be some blame and criticism the day one that you take over. If you're gonna lead in a school and you're gonna be a student, there's gonna be some blame and criticism. If you open a restaurant, you start a business, whatever you lead, there's not gonna be 100% of the people ever that are like, we are so thankful for you. So don't expect that. Expect blame and criticism. That comes with doing what God is asking you to do. Secondly is this, when you lead for the Lord, you can also expect an increased dependency to seek the Lord and then go public with what he says. You can expect when you're leading for the Lord, if you're doing it his way, this increased dependency on him and to go public with what he says. Notice what happens here in verse 4. So Moses cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. Now, let's stop there for a second. It doesn't say Moses got away, knelt down and prayed. Prayer's good. What is he doing? He is crying out to the Lord. What does that mean? He is bearing his soul to the Lord. Moses is not just coming saying, dearest Lord, thank you for leading us into the wilderness. May you provide it for us. I mean, he's not talking that way because he spoke Hebrew, but he's not talking that way. The reason is because he's pouring out his heart because of what's going on. And he's leading the people exactly where God wants them to go. They don't have what they need. The reason they don't have what they need is because he's the one that told them to move and they need what they're asking for, but he can't provide it. So what's he doing? He's crying out to the Lord. He's bearing his soul. He's telling the Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I am completely dependent upon you because if you don't come through, I am in big trouble. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the text tells us that. It says that he cried out to the Lord. Why? Saying, what shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me. They're gonna kill me, God. They're sick of me. Now, why did Moses lead the people? Do you remember why? Did he sign up for the job? Was he wanting to be the deliverer of Israel? No, God called him. We find out from the very beginning of the story, even when he's floating down the Nile, that God had a plan for his life. We see him even after he murdered an Egyptian and flees to the wilderness that God provided for him as a shepherd. We see when he's 80 years old at the burning bush, that's when God calls him. So why is he going? He's going because God told me to go help this group of people be delivered and get to the promised land. That's why he put me on the earth. So I'm doing everything God's asking me to do, and the very people I'm doing it for want me dead. That's what's going on. So you'll have an increased dependency on the Lord and you'll go public with what he says. So he cries out to the Lord saying, they're gonna stone me. Then the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people and take some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand, your staff with which you struck the Nile and go. So he's gonna say, hey, take some of your elders. I want you to go out in front of the people. I want you to hold that staff, the one that you struck the Nile with when you turned it to blood. I want you to take that out in front of the people. Sometimes when God shows us things, or we're going through a tough time, or people are being critical of us, you know what we want to do? We want to hide. We want to become more private. We want to back up. We don't want people to see our insecurities. We don't want people to see that we don't have it all together. And oftentimes God's like, okay, here's what I want you to do. Now I want you to go take leaders and go stand in front of them and do exactly what I told you. So Moses is going to do that. Take some of the elders, some of the leaders, take that staff in your hand. Remember, the power is not yours, it's mine. And what does God say? Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. Now we read that verse and like, okay, praise God. Has anybody here been asked to strike a rock for thirsty people in hopes that water would come out of it? When you talk about one step of faith, I've never heard about this other than this story in the Bible. This is the only one I'm aware of where God asked somebody to do this and Moses was obedient. We read that God did it. We're like, yeah, that's what God does. But Moses had to have the faith to take the staff, take leaders, and strike the rock. And what did God promise? He goes, I'll go stand on the rock. I'll go before you. When God asks you to do something, he always goes before you. He always goes with you. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always come through with what he shows you he's going to do. But Moses had to do it. Moses could have said, that sounds like kind of a crazy idea. And if I go strike a rock and tell them water's coming out and no water comes out, they're going to take that rock and stone me with it. But that's what he does. He trusts what the Lord tells him. So he's dependent upon hearing the voice of the Lord and then doing what the Lord says. And notice what he named the place. He named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel and because they tested the Lord saying, is the Lord among us or not? So the people were wondering, yeah, we've seen God do things, but is he present now? Is he able to provide now? Massah means testing, Meribah means quarreling. He named the place testing and quarreling. That's the name of the place. Didn't probably do good on a portrait of the city or chamber of commerce going forward, right? You want to move to testing and quarreling? That's what he named the place. But notice this. He cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him what to do, and he did what the Lord wanted him to do. That's essential for us. When I got into ministry, my prayer life changed. It was no longer just a simple prayer life. It was, God, if you don't show up, I'm in big trouble. I remember becoming a youth director at a church of about 100 people thinking, I got this. This is going to be good. I'm going to lead kids to Christ, lead their families to Christ. And I got there to this church of 100 people. And guess how many kids we had? 4. And guess what happened? Nothing. Nobody wanted to come. I remember one day we had like 10 kids in Sunday school. And I was thinking, there's only 10 kids. And everybody was high-fiving each other like, we've never seen this many people in the church ever before. This is awesome. I'm like, you guys don't come? They're like, no, this is boring. We don't like it. And there was this group of women that prayed in our church on Wednesday nights. There were 5 of them. They're very old women. They're about 45 to 50 years old. I was 24. They invited me to come pray with them. And I remember I went to this group of women that prayed, but they prayed differently than how I'd seen prayer before. They started praying, and when they were talking to God, they were talking to him as if what they were praying was actually going to happen. And then I would see what they were praying for would come to pass. And so they started asking me, what do you want to see? I said, I want to see more kids come to our youth group. And more kids started coming. I told them, I want to see kids start getting saved. Kids started getting saved. I then said, I want to see parents of these kids get saved. And I started leading parents of the kids to the Lord. And then they said, what else do you want? And so I was like, this is great. I will subcontract out all my prayers to these women so that I can go do ministry. But what I didn't understand at the time was prayer is not about God answering. Prayer is about your growth of intimacy and fellowship with the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Leadership Expectations, from the series Exodus, examining why leadership often involves criticism for problems you've helped create but can't solve. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.